What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
This hour is brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today.
The views and opinions of Layla Rahimi and Marshall Harris should not be taken too seriously,
especially when they give advice.
Do not take Marshall's analogies literally,
especially when it comes to Russell Dorsey.
The sports thoughts of Rahimi and Harris may change at any time. Remember, it's just sports.
Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Rahimi and Harris, 10 to 2 on 670.
Are the Bears in the best position they've been in the last 20 years to develop a young quarterback? You just haven't seen the successive days of goodness.
Last year, Caleb Williams was the gifted student stuck in a remedial class. But no one's doubting that the special, as they call it, is still in there. It's just a matter of, can you do it from a fundamental standpoint? And Ben Johnson's bringing him along at the pace he can to say, okay, yes, you can still do that, but we need you to be able to do this, that, and the third.
All eyes now are on Caleb Williams behind center.
It's been a long time since the Bears have had an offense that fans could get excited about.
Can they get the offense? Pretty good start to this one. It's another tight end in Cole Kmet. 45-yard line, a gain of 28.
Time to throw.
Open tight end, Loveland again.
And he had all day to throw behind that revamped O-line.
Ramadan Zacchaeus takes it to the end zone for the Bears' touchdown. 36-yard touchdown to finish off a 93-yard drive to start this game.
Everything they wanted to get accomplished tonight, being the Chicago Bears, especially offensively, mission accomplished.
We are back! That's we right. Are back!
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
That's right. We have a football Monday to discuss. I don't care that the game didn't count. It sure as hell mattered. We broadcast live from the Score Sunday Studios, brought to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody. Mark Grody sitting in. Marshall Harris is here. Layla Rahimi with you as well. As we get you ready for Cubs baseball on the Score, we got a doubleheader against the Brew Crew today. Everything is happening. Yes, that
I
is
love
correct.
It. I love it. And I'm glad we're here to discuss it. I'm glad Mark Grody is in the house after his fresh duty down at Soldier Field last night, touring through the locker room. I'm just happy that we seem to be at this perfect moment in which people can be happy, excited, and still anticipatory of what's to come.
Our producers are Ray Diaz and Robbie Triano, along with Brandon Fryer helping out. You can call us, you can text us, you can Bears us. 312-644-6767 is the number. We want to hear from you today on this Monday as well. And we are on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670TheScore. Our video team, Connor O'Donnell, Jacob Stutz, and Max Curtis. And that is the mission statement that I think Ben Johnson put in our heads. It may not count, but it matters. And if you believe that, what you saw last night out of this Bears offense, I can't tell you how refreshing it was to see a touchdown on a first drive. For everything we heard leading up to this game, listening to the discussion surrounding Caleb Williams, we watched what happened in practice. We heard him have to talk about what happened in practice. We're sitting here and he's trying to be a franchise player and we're here talking about practice, not a game. So you get to a preseason game and then you see what we know right now. This is not the finished product. This is a preseason game. I'm aware of all of these things. But when the objective is fix this, and build foundations to be able to therefore not just fix it, but improve on it. This team drives down the field. They score a touchdown on the first drive, and then they don't let up. The defense plays complementary to the offense. We saw aggressive defense. We saw learning opportunities, not just for the players, but for the coaches as well. I am talking about a Bears team today that has 528 yards of total offense in a game. A game. If you had told me last year at this time that the Bears in any sort of game, real, fake, imaginary, or in your heart, would result in 528 yards of total offense, I would be thrilled. So for what I needed to see yesterday, mission accomplished and then some.
It's not just that. It's that when the first half horn goes off, right? And you look up at the scoreboard and you're like, they really did that. And when I say they really did that, it wasn't just the score, right? It was, 371 yards of total offense to just 47 for the Bills in the first half. I went over these stats like five times at halftime because I was just like, wait, you're telling me they had 20 first downs and the Bills had three? You're telling me on the red zone they were 3 for 3 in the red zone? Layla, I know it's a preseason game, and that's the only thing that kept me from getting just out in front of myself because I was like, this is that stuff. This is what Ben Johnson was talking about. This is what Bears fans, when the Ben Johnson hire was made, dreamt of. And I know it's a preseason game, and I know practice and training camp has looked up and looked off. But install is over. It's time to get to business. And really the only question I have left is who's going to play left tackle? That's like my biggest thing about the offense right now. And also, are the running backs going to be okay? But I don't care about that because I'm going to bask in what happened last night.
Because you love Ian Wheeler is what it is. You love Ian Wheeler and his 80 yards and 2 touchdowns. You love Britton Brown. You've been talking about Britton Brown all year.
I have not.
And there he was. No, he hasn't been doing that. I'll just pile on to all the, first of all, 528 yards of total offense, never goes out of style. I don't care if it's a preseason game. The Bears had that kind of yardage scored against them in the Detroit game in the first half on Thanksgiving Day. It felt like, if you go back and look at those lopsided statistics. So whenever I see the Bears pour that onto somebody else relative to last year, I'm like, yeah, I'm going to go ahead and circle that. And then the other thing too, like with the offense, it's just something everybody, every single Bears fan needed to see that drive. I needed to see that drive last night. And it was that for the opening drive. It was flawless and beautiful and using both of your tight ends and connecting on the first play of the game. Roll right. There's Colston Loveland. How many times did we not see that last year? So I needed to see that. Let's stack it from here now.
Well, that's how I felt. Was that was such a test for me. When we talk about accountability, when we talk about trying to figure out if your process is sound during the week, what we were trying to learn from last season was how is it going to show up in the actual game? And then what did we see time and time again, Mark and Marshall, as we talk Bears here on Raheem Ian Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. We kept seeing over and over again, three and out, communication mistakes, yes. Route miscommunication, yes. Blocking assignments were incorrect. That is not what we saw in the game yesterday. Not only did we see the touchdown number one, which was beautiful, but we also saw what led to it. Involve your tight end. Use all parts of the field, even though you didn't start with a spread out formation like that. We saw explosive plays, like the Cole Kmet catch for 29 yards. You then saw offensive rhythm, and even though they didn't run the ball heavy as we wanted to see, we saw defined use of not only base formations leading to offensive rhythm. You saw a quarterback who I feel like when the footwork is married, you're not necessarily, when you're watching the game real time, focusing on his footwork at the beginning. You're seeing how he steps up in the pocket at the end when he's throwing. And it felt more comfortable to watch. When you're seeing that timing, when you're seeing how he's marrying those concepts together physically, it was performing in a way that were, for us, we hadn't seen function in a really long time.
My favorite part of the first drive, and really my favorite part of this entire game, came on that first drive, and it wasn't the touchdown. My favorite part is the point where most Bears fans start to clutch their pearls, and that was the Drew Dahlman offensive holding. Because you're like, okay, it was too good to be true. Here we go. Very next play. Oh, it's 2nd and 14? That ain't no problem. Colston Loveland, 18-yard pickup. And you're like, we're back. And they're back moving down the field. And then the Zacchaeus touchdown comes like 3-4 plays later. And so for me, it was that even when we make a mistake, we bounce right back. And that gave me so much hope as to what the regular season can bring if Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams and all those weapons figure it out. And it seems like they're on their way.
I want to play a soundbite for you that I thought was really important after the game, because again, I'm deriving my mission statements from the head coach. Tell us how to act. Don't just tell your team how to act. Tell us what you want to see so we know what we need to be looking for as well. And the reason I think that we get hung up on the yardage total, when you're looking at it, you're not necessarily thinking about how you're getting there. But when he explains why this happened, when he found the actual why, here's what he had to say about not necessarily the yardage you get at the end of the game, the numbers you get at the end of the game, but what you're doing on the individual drives to make it happen.
All I really care about right now is to see us improve. And so that was really what we talked about this morning when we had our team meeting was offensively we wanted to play clean football. We wanted to get better in critical downs, which I thought we did. We were much better on third down and fourth down this week than we were last week. And so, you know, I know you see the points and you see some of those stats, and it's easy to get excited, but we're just keeping the main thing here. We had a good night. Guys played hard, and they executed at a high level. And so when all three phases are doing good things like that, then, you know, normally good things happen on the scoreboard.
So picture it with us.
In a world
where they convert third downs, where they convert critical downs, where the Bears score touchdowns on first drives of games.
What?
And then they lead to bizarre outcomes like 327 yards at the half and 528 total for the game. And the defense isn't on the field the whole time. Picture it.
In a world.
Mark, do you like the idea of a team going 9-for-16 on third downs? Do you like that?
Because I do.
That's what happened last night.
I do.
What about this? Do you like that better or the fact that the Bears defense allowed the Bills to convert exactly zero of their 8 third down opportunities and zero of their 2 fourth down opportunities?
I do like that. Can I will add to the pile here. Well, I'll get specific
on
you.
Pile on.
No, man. Like,
you're going to get specific on it?
How about the touchdown to Olamide Zaccheaus? That's a 3rd and 5, everybody.
Split the coverage, too. Let's go.
Yeah. Oh,
let's go, baby.
By the way, I got a Bears hit coming up. We will hear from Olamide Zaccheaus, who it's kind of sexy football. It's a little, it's not full on sexy.
So
it's
not like full lingerie,
sexy.
Maybe just like a little.
Right, right.
Show a little shoulder.
We're covered up a little for the most part. We're not ready to take it all off until the regular season. So
a little shoulder.
Yeah, you know.
And shout out to Ozzy for being a part of the Savannah Bananas over the weekend, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Look, I got my bananas pack right here.
Did not know where he was going with that statement.
Go banana. That's what she said. Oh, what?
Whoa.
Also, hey, cute moment during the game, too, if you were watching on TV, not like bougie Robbie and Grody who were at the game physically.
Super bougie.
Yeah. So did you see when they were appropriately taking a knee for what happened during the injury timeout that DJ Moore and Caleb Williams were complimenting each other? They were kneeling toward each other.
Aww.
Like, oh, see there? Maybe everybody's on a team together after all.
I love it. No, the most adorable moment of the weekend, guys, was PCA scoring a run and then going up to that group of children behind the net and kind of giving them a high five. I know Marshall didn't have goosebumps, but I did. I was just overcome with goosebumps when PCA did that. That was the most adorable moment.
There was no lemonade involved, so therefore there were no goosebumps for me.
Bears.
Bears.
We will get to Cubs. There's no doubt that there is a massive 5-game set against the Brewers coming
up. We'll get to the Cubs.
Yeah, that is, trust me, something that we will get into. And I know for now, at least, we don't have an update on Terrell Smith outside of what Ben Johnson had to say after the game. That was hard to watch. That was the lowest point of the game last night, was knowing the secondary is already banged up, and then unfortunately it did not sound good in the post-game press conference, did it, Mark?
No, it didn't. It's a knee injury. He obviously was carted off, and look, they cart guys off, you know, pretty liberally these days. So that's the way of looking at it optimistically. You know what I mean? Like it doesn't take, like as it did in the old days, something catastrophic to be carted off the field. But it did not look good, and that was considering where the secondary is right now, injured in a lot of cases. it was rough to see that. Good to see Jalen Johnson going through a workout before the game and not looking like to the naked eye that he was favoring anything at that point. But I'm sure he's not a hundo. But
a downtrodden unit right now, and I'm anxious to see if Jalen Johnson really will be back for week one, and also obviously Kyler Gordon as well. Mm-hmm. You need your guys to come back, especially when the depth is going to be at a fault.
Yeah, and unfortunately, perhaps that is the downer here, is knowing that in a position unit where you couldn't afford a lot of more injuries, that Terrell Smith one is scary looking, especially with it being non-contact, and also something that we are, of course, going to watch with bated breath to see what happens. And just emotionally, you saw that he was in a bad place yesterday, appropriately. Like, that was unfortunate. But we have more to talk about on this show, because we will get into Caleb Williams's performance in last night's game. We do want to talk about the other quarterback's performance as well, Tyson Bagent. And by the way, Austin Reed had a nice little fist pump at the end of the drive with the Ian Wheeler touchdown. Yeah. So we'll shout him out too. Yeah. And Luther Burden, there's an arc there for being able to play at the level he's at right now in this preseason so quickly. Our training camp coverage here on The Score is presented by Chevy Drive Chicago and the number one draft pick, Chevy Silverado, the official truck partner of the Chicago Bears. More Bears talk coming up. Like I said, hang out with us, 312-644-6767. You are listening to the Raheem and Harris Show with Mark Grody on 670 The Score in the Odyssey and iHeartRadio app.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story? Or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris. Middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bagent drops back to throw and delivers a perfect toss to Luther Burden, the rookie, for a first down into Bills territory. Into the flats they go. Burden having a big game. Makes a move and crosses the 40. Bagent goes to the end zone and finds a man in the corner. It is Tyler Scott for a touchdown. Third-year man out of Cincinnati. Bagent finds him, and it's 20-0 Chicago.
Yeah, Joe Davis. I was also at some point surprised that Tyler Scott got back into this offense, pleasantly so. That was the call on Fox last night. This is Raheem and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score as we continue to recap a 38-0 Bears preseason win over the Buffalo Bills. And the twos were a big part of this, as we will discuss. But before that, we have to get into not just the fact that the Bears racked up all these yards, not just the fact that they were successful on their first drive, but that for all of what we heard about the concerns surrounding Caleb Williams, I'm not saying they went away, but you feel a lot better seeing him in a game looking like that. The eye test was more than just passed. You feel like you are seeing progress in your QB1 in a game scenario.
With Caleb Williams, my whole thing on Friday, Grody and I talked about it when we were out at Gallagher Way, and I was like, I know people are hard on Caleb Williams right now and no one believes in him, but if Ben Johnson can't fix him, I'm not sure who can. And so when I say fix him, I just mean get him up to speed after what was a wasted first year. Yes, he had some in-game experience, but the lack of direction from Shane Waldron and company show you just how much damage you can do to a first overall pick. And we know patience is not a lot around here as far as quarterbacks go, but Ben Johnson told you, I'm throwing everything at him to see what he can handle. And of course, once you've can't handle stuff, we'll pare it down. I feel like that's what he has done in this training camp. The install, as I mentioned, is over, and Caleb Williams talked a little bit about that. But I want you guys to listen to what Ben Johnson had to say on Caleb Williams in those two drives being locked in.
He's really been locked in. You know, it's anytime you're a young player, there's usually a couple steps forward and one step back. And that's really been the story of his training camp. And he and I have been really open and honest about that as we've gone through. And he's had some really good practices. And then he's had a couple where it's like, that's not good enough, bud. So I thought really the 3 days of practice we had this week and this game were the most he stacked up good days in a row right now. So the challenge is going to be to keep pushing in that direction.
Caleb Williams, 6 of 10 in the game on Sunday night at Soldier Field, 107 yards and a touchdown. So there you go, averaging 10.7 yards per attempt, which is all things you want to discuss out of your quarterback.
Yeah, and like, again, needed to see it, and I want to see it. The Bears are off today. They will practice tomorrow. And I am always for everything that he has done up to this point. Leave it behind you and just go forward and hope that maybe something started to click on all of this. We talked about the big plays on the first drive, the second and 15 to Colston Loveland, the 29-yard pass to Cole Kmet. As for the second drive, the third and five to DJ Moore was pretty damn important, I thought, just to get that on-field chemistry early between those two guys because it didn't exist early. That was nice. And I don't know how you guys felt, but in that second drive, when it was third and 10, I said to myself, keep it right. I want to see what Caleb Williams does with a third and 10. And then Buffalo jumps off sides. It goes to a third and 4. And then Caleb misses the connection with Rome Odunze. You guys tell me.
It was Rome.
Was that on Rome? Okay, so the pass was perfect by Caleb. I have not watched my TV copy. I took some heat last night.
It was good enough that Rome should have caught the pass.
Okay. But it was not was the pass a little bit askew? A little bit?
I think that it was very much catchable, where especially the expectation out of who should be WR2, who's picked ninth overall.
Fair enough.
Like, if we're gonna hold Caleb Williams to a higher standard,
amen.
I feel like, especially if you know that you're the third down read there too, and we did see a lot of check downs yesterday, successful ones, I feel like, based on the looks they were getting.
Yeah.
I think in that case, you need to know that that's your ball and it's your responsibility, and it was enough. Like that, like we talk about being open enough, that was thrown well enough to where he should have made that play. Like we should be talking about two scoring drives for that unit now.
Who knows what happens?
And you're right in that. That's how you go from good to great. You want to see the team take advantage. You know, we talk about extra outs all the time in baseball. You want to be the team where when you do make a mistake like that and you're the opponent, like the Bills did, oh no, now it's down to third and four. What's going to happen? You want to make sure that the team on the other side is afraid of you when you've shortened their distance to move the chains.
I'll say this. The ball was far from perfect. It wasn't like he caught him in stride. He had to dive to get it.
Yeah.
But it looked like he should be able to dive and catch the ball. He got his hands on it.
Yeah. I agree. Like what you guys are saying, like he should be a guy, the first round pick, man. Yeah, you got to make degree of difficulty catches.
At the same time, I do love that Caleb Williams after the game said everybody did their job on that play except for me.
Really,
I love that.
Yeah,
I missed that
again. Accountability. Like it's one thing to say it a lot of times in your press conference. You don't get a reward for the over under on the word, but you do get a reward for saying, because if you're saying it to us. Even that little ripple, you know, people joke about, oh, well, what does the media know? When you're able to say that to us, even if your teammate didn't hear it in the locker room, you know, he knows that publicly that's what you said. You know, that's where it makes a difference, I believe.
I have a word I'd like to use really quickly, if
Let's
I may.
Let's do it.
Can Please? I use a word? There's a word. Yes. There's a word I'd like to use. It's disclaimer. And I know that we have to constantly disclaim. And this is what everybody has to do. We know it's preseason. Because there's a couple texters like doing that. Come on, guys, calm down. It's preseason. You know, we'd get the opposite if we were being critical. But I just got a hilarious text from somebody that works in the building who frequently texts the score and can be as hard. And I won't say his name necessarily. But he is as harsh as can be. Like, he's a meatball, mean texter. So he texts this based on what my praise. He said, for the love of Pete, calm your bleep down. We all know preseason is meaningless. People forget every year. I hope they're better. But they lost 10 in a row last year. Have we not been as critical as can be of Caleb Williams when he's not been?
I think everyone has been.
Good. So
this is what bothers me. Like, that's what being fair is.
Good is good.
Being truly fair
yes.
is acknowledging that those things happened when it's appropriate
What's
and also acknowledging the progress a team makes when it's appropriate.
We don't make up narratives, ever.
I'm not saying this. I'm not proclaiming this, ever. But I'm not saying this is a playoff. I'm not proclaiming anything. It's not like I decided that the life is being changed here. But when I'm, if you're putting, put yourself in their shoes and ask yourself what they're looking for. And if you do that, then you feel better about what you saw yesterday. And that's where I laugh at this. Oh, preseason is meaningless. Oh, it's just one Cubs game. Chick, it all adds up. It all adds up.
Honestly, like,
I'm sitting here talking to you about a 5-game stand against the Brewers that we shouldn't because they did their jobs. I can do the same with watching a preseason game today.
Preseason can be whatever you want it to be. Like, if you could consume, I'm talking about to the listeners, to the Bears fans. You could take it as seriously or not seriously as you want to, but we will always tell you what is in front of us, what we see, what I saw last night at Soldier Field, what you guys saw on your televisions last night, was a quarterback that had a hell of a first drive of the game, which was the bulk of his playing time last night, and it was pretty good.
And are you saying, like, oh, is he the next MVP? No. And by the way, I appreciated the broadcast last night putting up Josh Allen's numbers from last season, which was monumental for him, as we know, award-winning everything. Do you see that completion rate in the regular season?
It's very, very good.
63.6, though. Does that sound like 70 to you?
No, it does not.
You need to tell me you can still be wildly successful and not hit a goal number as a quarterback?
Are you taking a shot at Ben Johnson right now?
No, I'm saying, like, that's how you need to consider some of these measurements and goals. Yes, that's the goal you have. You shoot for this because you know that this might be the result. Similarly, when you're building a baseball roster, you shoot for a 90-win team because you know that that will get you a result in the neighborhood.
Yeah, right. Just go for an exaggerated goal. Yeah.
So we're talking about Caleb Williams and his performance last night here on Raheemy and Harris, Mark Grody here on 670 The Score. And I want to make sure I understand this. The people who are critical of it only being a preseason game, are you saying they would not complain if Caleb Williams had gone out there and thrown two interceptions?
And we would be too, because we'd be talking about what we saw.
You can't have it both ways.
Well, I mean, you know what? Here's the funny part. You can, but, like, nobody's calling you out for it. You're not putting your name on something. We can see your phone number. We have Google and all of that. Oh, but, like, when it comes to, like, we put our names on this stuff every day. This segment is brought to you by almostfreeteeth.com. Save on dental implants today. But we are allowed to talk about what we saw. And you're right. We didn't see two interceptions out of our quarterback.
And he looked good. My point is this. You watched him. He looked good. The offense looked, more than anything, it looked crisp. The operation of it all. It looked like what a football team with a good offense is supposed to look like. I don't care if they're going up against Buffalo's ones, twos, threes, fours, fives, sixes. You still got to go out there and do the thing. They went out there and they did the thing. To my satisfaction, to be like, okay, if you only want to go two series with Caleb Williams, I'm good with that. Now, whether or not he plays in the third preseason game, that's another story. But as far as his improvement from what we saw in training camp, and Ben Johnson told you, the last three practices plus this preseason game, he's now stacking in the right direction as opposed to two steps forward, one step back. It looks like it's all going forward. And it's not going to be linear, but in this case, it does look pretty linear to me.
I love linear. There's so much nonlinear these days in sports that I have a new appreciation for just linear in general. And I feel bad that I took it for granted all of these years since I learned the word in junior high, linear.
I'm going to let you sit with that because you're right. I love linear too. If everything were linear, then we could predict everything and everything would be really easy models.
I like chaos.
Yeah, but things
are
not.
You're one of those people, huh?
They're cyclical, they're random, and et cetera. I also want to get to this. We've just been cooking. That's the problem. We're too excited.
We're cooking.
We are, but it's because we're happy about what we saw yesterday. And again, the goal is progress and growth. This is the fun part. Okay, so is it a one or a zero? It's a one. They achieved that yesterday. Ryan Poles, I thought, and I know you were at the game, Mark.
Yeah, so I have not heard this.
Bears GM Ryan Poles, I thought, was really good talking to the Fox broadcast because I felt, A, your team is up 31-0 when you get into the broadcast booth.
Feeling pretty good.
Yeah, B, you know, it's national TV.
Poles, like, you seeing all this?
It's national TV, and he gets to flex a little bit. But I also think he was in his element with Greg Olsen and Joe Davis talking and just watching tape and kind of, you can tell that that's probably his happy place, just talking about individual players, watching the tape, seeing what he sees. The compliments that he gave to Luther Burden, not just when asked, but then when they showed him his video, I think that that's really important. I want to spend some significant time on it, especially since he got so much attention to begin with in OTAs in this training camp. So can we take a brief break and do it on the other side of the break? And again, join us 312-644-6767 and join us on Twitch, twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score.
I want to remind people, Football Talk on The Score presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today.
Do that. This is Rahimi and Harris and Mark Grody and you talking Bears. We're getting you ready for a massive Cubs series starting at 1:20 here on The Score 2. So Cubs, Bears, Emas next.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from...
This is a breaking news report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.
Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on 670 The Score.
I'll tell you what, I have been really impressed with Bajan. Not only his timing, not only playing within the confines of the system, but the athleticism at the quarterback position seems like a prerequisite to play anymore. If you're a statue in the pocket in today's day and age, it's just so hard with these defenders.
This is as good of a talk radio city as there is in the country. What do we think, boys? We got a quarterback controversy in...
How dare you, Joe Davis? I knew what you were doing there. You're pulling an old Mark Grody stir the pot.
A little red meat.
You knew what you were doing. That was the Fox broadcast last night, along with, of course, former Bear Greg Olson. This is Rahimi and Harris with Mark Grody on 670 The Score. Tyson Bajan goes 13 of 22 yesterday, 196 yards, a touchdown, no interceptions, one sack, but who cares? The Bears won 38-0 against the Bills in preseason game number 2. And a big target for him, and really somebody who helped make a lot of plays go outside of even what we saw catching-wise, was the play of Luther Burden. That's encouraging for a multitude of reasons. Number one, backing up your draft pick status. Backing up why you justified that decision when you decided to choose him early in the second round. Number two, I think the progress arc of what we saw out of Luther Burden is also something that should be noted. He gets 49 yards on the day, averaged 16.3 per catch, also something you want to see, especially out of that option. And I think additionally, you see further in the Ben Johnson offense, the role he's going to play and how the slot becomes a major part of how this is going to succeed.
I was wondering while I'm watching Luther Burden III do his thing, showing that wiggle. I mean, the wiggle, if you're trying to guard him in a phone booth, you might have some difficulty. It all was on display yesterday. And I love the fact that I don't know that Luther Burden III isn't upset and playing with a chip on his shoulder right now because he sees all the guys ahead of him in terms of who's getting targets. He's like, I need to climb this depth chart. And he's doing everything in his power, even though he got off to a late start in camp, to climb that depth chart. Right now, though, he just has some really good guys in front of him, Mark.
You said the chip on the shoulder?
Yeah.
And I know that that's basically cliche now, like so many guys have a chip on their shoulder. This guy, like, man, every interaction I've had with him, it's like a boulder on his shoulder, man. Like, I don't know what it is, but I mean, again, maybe this just goes back to getting drafted in the second round. You know what I mean? Like, there is a healthy anger about Luther Burden, who I did talk to last night. We'll hear some of that coming up in just a little bit. And I think I like it. Like, he's a tough customer, man. When you're talking to him, like, he's not like a guy who's going to, you know, want to be all fun and sunshiny. And
he's not Tyson Bajan.
He's not Tyson. He's not Cole Kmet. He will answer the questions, but he's kind of a tough customer. He's an interesting guy, and I think I like it.
Yeah, I'm for having a range of personalities on the field, but especially when you're backing it up with the actions you are. You know, for one, like he was legendary out of high school, you know, in East St. Louis, goes to Missouri. We talked to his head coach, Eli Drinkwitz, when he was drafted.
And I
do think it is cool. I do think it's cool to have somebody represent from East St. Louis on the Bears, just to have that is to me still a local aspect, even though it's downstate. But all of that said, there was also just the criticisms of him, you know, as to why he fell to that second round, as to whether or not he was going to fit in an NFL role where there's more asked of you. The moves that we saw him when it came to the receiving part of his job, the juke move at the line of scrimmage to smoke somebody, you know, that's a veteran type of move. You don't typically see that out of a college receiver in a rookie season this early. So I love that. But more than that, it was also really him picking up the role of blocking and being a willing pass blocker, being willing to set an edge. And there was no faking what you saw when it came to his blocking assignments. Ryan Poles joined the broadcast in the fourth quarter, and he went over some tape, and I feel like he was in his happy place when it came to talking about individuals studying tape with Greg Olsen. So let's listen to what he had to say when he was watching, because they're showing him the video of Luther Burden doing his job.
Oh, nice.
We loaded up those blocks from Luther Burden. I'm sure you saw him, but we got some pretty good angles of him right here. And I was going to warm an old lineman's heart right here. Oh, yeah.
That's physical now in that crack. Wait till you see this one. He takes this guy 3 yards back in the end zone.
Yep.
I mean, we talked about it before. If you're going to play in Ben Johnson's offense, if you're an unwilling perimeter blocker as a wide receiver, I don't care how fast you are, you're not going to play.
No. No block, no rock.
And they're living by that. And Burden must have heard. He heard. You heard. He heard.
Also, Poles talked about in the broadcast, he expanded on that. And he said, Poles mentioned it, he was not that way to begin camp. And he said, you know, trust me, that was not the case. And when he said, trust me, he made it sound like not only was it serious, but it was something that he knew needed work. And how he had become a willing listener and a willing participant. And then you see it on the field. If it takes a week to fix a problem, that's a successful fix. You know, if it takes a couple weeks, when you're seeing this improvement in this buy-in level, that's a good thing.
I think for him, he got drafted where he did. Not happy, obviously, that he wasn't a first-round pick. He knows what the word on the street was about. Remember Steve Smith talking about him? The former receiver
in a
very negative way.
Bears killer.
And yes, that's Eli Drinkowitz.
Every Bears fan knows who Steve Dan Smith is. Trust
who?
Me.
There's a lot of opposing teams.
But he had some particularly massive moments against the Bears.
But the point I was making is, so there's a lot of negativity surrounding him as his draft stock fell in his eyes, at least. And then he gets here and he looks around the receiver room. Another top 10 pick in Rome Odunze ahead of him. DJ Moore, who got paid all the money. Alamide Zaccheaus, who we know what he's been able to do since he got to camp. He has not skipped a beat working with a new team. He's used to doing this every year.
Colston Loveland.
Cole Kmet. And he's like, oh, I'm low man on this depth chart. I got to do whatever they ask me to do to get where I want to be.
He's acting accordingly. That's what I can tell you.
He's fallen into line.
He is. He's not only fallen into line, but he's pushing his way to the front of the line. He's not at the front of the line, but even literally with the pushing and the blocking that we were talking about last night, he's like, oh, if that's what you need, oh, you want to see this? Okay.
It's just so refreshing when I consider also. We'll get into this, and I think it's really valid in the next segment to talk about the offensive line concepts and clear blocking concepts, because if I can see them in a game real time, that means they must be being coached, because I don't know if you know this, but I didn't play football.
You didn't?
No.
Did anybody in this room play football? Yeah. Marshall, did you play football?
I played 1 year of football. It did not go well for me.
Well, that's 100% more years than me.
Yeah.
But when I'm seeing Luther Burden, who... that extra weight matters. You know, he's listed at 6'2", 210. When I see that, number one, I got flashbacks of poor Darnell Mooney at $175, maybe, being asked to block in a way on the edge where he wasn't going inside. There wasn't a contain element there when it came to where he was in position to the line of scrimmage, which is why formation is so important. And how Burden, even in those plays where you're asking him to block, he's set up from a successful part of the field to then run inside. So he's already going to help form a pocket around. He's already going to help shield from the other person designed to get the ball. So then from the start, he's in the right spot. And then you see how he blocks and he's able to move that body back.
Checked all the boxes.
Right.
Yeah.
But there's so many reasons as to why it looks better. You know, it's how they're set up pre-snap, too, to make these plays and make them look good. And then you're asking the right guy to do it because he's heavier.
I mean, and the pre-snap stuff like that you mentioned, I mean, we didn't see issues. We didn't see issues.
I told you, that was my number one takeaway from last night's game is, oh, the operation looks clean.
Yeah.
That has not been the case at training camp, as you have duly noted, and so have I.
Very recently. Layla,
go back to Friday.
Marshall, do you guys want me to take you through the locker room a little bit?
I would like it.
A little bit?
I think that would be a lovely idea.
Little bit. I got some good stuff with. I had a good talk with Braxton Jones last night. I thought he really provided some insight for me, and I'd like to present it to all of you on the left tackle position and what he is going through. He got a little personal, as in, I don't know if that's the right way to put it. He got he was revealing a little bit, like where he stands with all of this.
Sounds and like he was vulnerable with you.
He was a little bit vulnerable with in terms of what Ben Johnson and Dan Roschar basically said, nobody's good enough to play left tackle. I presented that question to Braxton Jones. We'll have that and more coming up.
I want to hear all about your swim through the locker room. Take us there, Mark Grody. And in the meantime, we also know we got Cubs baseball coming up. So remember, it is the Cubs Brewers doubleheader from Wrigley Field. Pregame for game one of this day begins at 12:45. First pitch at 1:20. We are going to talk Cubs later on the show. Game two pregame is at 6:30. First pitch at 7:05. It can all be heard on the Score in the Southwest Airlines Cubs Radio Network. Mark Grody with a Bears hit. Two words. Let's go next on the Score.
What's on your mind right now? The song you can't get out of your head? That breaking story or that conversation you just have to be a part of?
That's the brand new song from
This is a Breaking News Report.
He shoots! He scores!
That's radio. Happening now. Connecting you to what matters most exactly when it's happening. From the airwaves to every device you stream on, radio is everywhere you are. It's local, live, and it's for you. Tag your favorite radio station tomorrow on social media and use hashtag National Radio Day to celebrate. That's hashtag National Radio Day.